I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
How's life?
Hot. It's hot. It's hot.
With the temperature outside.
We have hit triple-digit heat in the month of August here in Texas.
Tomorrow's going to be 107.
Yeah, I think the high for today is 105. And I know when I went running the previous day, it was 105. And I was like, you know what? I've made my mile and a half. I'm going home. I'm not doing this no more.
I don't know why. You know, I get working out, and I should probably do it as well. But 107 now.
I didn't know it was that hot for one. I didn't check the temperature. I just went outside and was just like, I'm gonna get my run in. And then as I was out there, I was like, yo, I can't do this. This is like a suffocating heat. I'm going home.
Doing all that working out, trying to be healthy, you'll die from heat stroke. Make it make sense.
I was hydrated. I'll start going in the morning now though. It is a lot cooler in the morning.
Yeah, I started, going to a little basketball court by my complex and shooting around. It's very therapeutic. I was talking to one of my coworkers at my other job about it. He was like, yeah, it really is. I play college ball. I'm like, you'd have to put that part in there. Because you said you like shoot around.
He was trying to flex.
you'd have to put that in there.
What college he play at? He said,
I didn't ask. I don't care. I didn't ask him in the first place if he played college ball. I just said I like shooting around outside. He's like, I went to school for basketball. Okay, sir. Well, you're not playing basketball anymore. So just
wait. He went on you mean like a scholarship or like that's what he was studying? Because
when you start interjecting points into a conversation that I don't care about, I'm not gonna try to expound on that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we have a conversation about music, I'm like, I started DJ at 18. I didn't ask you that. I was asking if you heard the song.
if it ever happened, I would just look at you funny, and just like. Who asked that? Nobody asked that info.
My coworker, he's funny though. He had me cracking up. I told him, this one of our girls at work. She was like, she called me the devil. She's like, you're just the devil. I said, no, actually, Brim is the devil. I just run one of the levels of hell. Two different things. He's way worse than I am. I'm the nice one.
Oh man, I'm gonna start using that.
What?
So and so's the devil. I just run one of the levels of hell.
I think I'm like third or fourth, whatever day it is. Every now and again, we have a show where one topic is so dominant and it like just takes over the news cycle that we try our best to not talk about it at first to try to reel you guys in, but everything we talk about outside of that one main topic is just fluff. It's just stuff we're just talking about just to fill up time. And this is one of those episodes.
Oh, man. Boy, is it ever.
So, with that being said, last week, I want to say maybe Tuesday-ish, Wednesday-ish, Cardi B put on her social media that she had a song coming out with Megan Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. I was excited. I'm fans of both of them. It's also funny because we talked about, where's Cardi B been at? She hasn't put out any music recently. She previewed the video on social media as well. And then Thursday night at 12 o'clock a.m., the song WAP finally debuted.
WAP!
And boy, oh boy, if there was ever a case of a song setting the internet on fire, me and Fresh had this conversation. I've told Fresh this. You never want to gauge the world view of something by your socials. You can't say, well, my followers say, because everybody on the internet is talking about the same thing. But if I ever had to say there was a time when everybody was talking about the same thing.
Yeah, everybody follows was talking about WAP. Everybody's followers.
Before we get into it, Fresh, what do you think of the song?
What do I think of the song? Honestly, I don't think it's the best lyrical like gym filled song, but it's a fun song. Like, it's a fun song. Like, I take it for what it is. It's a fun song. Like, it's women being women and having fun on the song. I think people forget that Megan is only 25 years old and Cardi is not much older than her. It's like, it's not like it's two 40-year-old women, but like, these are women in their early to mid 20s. Like, they having fun, living life, you know, talking they talk. So, I mean, I enjoy it, bro. I'm not going to sit here and just overly, this is not a song to overly critique.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
I love female rappers. I love them. And this song, it definitely goes into the Mount Rushmore of female rap songs.
Ooh, hot take.
We're not going to tell you what WAP stands for because Google exists.
And we can't say what it stands for.
But I love the song. It's amazing. It's just amazing. It's not even just amazing, like you said, because I don't need, first of all, for a song like this, I don't need a lyrical exercise. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, this song is perfect for just partying. Like, there's so many different places you can play this song. You play it on the radio, the clean version, obviously. You play it at the club. You play it in your car. Like, I think my wife listened to it. We were going, I don't know, I think we're going to get something to eat. She played it the whole ride.
Repeat.
Yes. I'm like, yo. Like, I want to listen to the lyrics. I'm like, anyway. What's been most interesting about the song, which shouldn't be a surprise, is men's reaction to it. So, I don't know if a lot of these men went comas for the last 20, 25 years, or, you know, just, they just like hearing other men tell them how much more money they have than them, or how better their women look, or, you know, how good they are in bed. But a lot of men are upset that, you know, Megan and Cardi were talking about sexual things. I tweeted, you know, I'm all for women gaining their sexual confidence from female rappers as opposed to male rappers. Because if you listen to male rappers as a woman, you kind of, well, you do feel degraded. You can easily feel degraded.
Which has been said for decades now.
And I'm not trying to be the guy on here like, oh, you know, hip-hop needs to clean it up. No, look, don't get in the car with me. There's a lot of misogynistic stuff flying out my speakers. It's going to keep coming out my speakers. I'm just saying, let the women have their fun, too. So to see women, I mean, men complain about it, makes me think, like, because Future puts out an album, like, every 6 months. Nobody says anything. But let
not a word, not a peep.
Cardi hadn't put out new music in probably over a year.
I think she said 9 months.
Yeah. And it's all of a sudden, it's just, this song is destroying the black community. Word. That's the song that does it. Okay. That's the song that does it.
Yo. Look, man. I don't even know where to start. I just don't know where to start because, like, the things that I have been seeing are just, like, ridiculous. And I can't believe that it's grown men who grew up in a time and in an era of 3-6 Mafia at their height, like in their peak, and UGK in their peak, and Trina and Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, like in their peak. Like, a lot of y'all heard Jackie O. Like, y'all know who Jackie O is, the female rapper out of Miami. Like, y'all know who that is. Like, y'all heard her music, and y'all think WAP is just, this is just too vulgar. Oh my God, this is too vulgar. Like, bro, y'all listen to Too Short. Y'all are fans of Too Short. And y'all think this is too vulgar. Like, I just don't get it. And it's like they've never heard a woman speak about sex or anything sexual on a rap song. And I'm with you. Like, where have y'all been the last, like, 20 to 30 years? Like, where were y'all at? Were y'all sleeping under rocks? Like, were y'all comatose? Like, did y'all miss all of Lil' Kim? Because I still contend, and this song right here kind of proves it, that all of these women are children of Lil' Kim. Like,
they really are.
Like, I watching the video, I just saw, I was waiting for a Lil' Kim cameo. Like, I just was waiting for her just to pop up because the whole aesthetic of the video just screamed Kim. It just screamed Kim to me. And so I didn't get what the big deal was and why men were so, had all their boxers in a bunch. Like, let these women have fun. Like I said, these women are in their early to mid 20s having fun. Like, it was, and my thing is, it was all cool just like 6 months ago. Like, it was cool when City Girls was out doing their thing, and before JT got out of prison, like, it was cool then. Like, it was cool when Megan first came out, and Megan has openly said that I'm raunchy. I like being raunchy, and I rap raunchy because of the music that I grew up listening to, i.e. the 3-6 Mafia, Gangsta Boo, UGK. Like, she said this several times in interviews, that this is where this talk and this rap comes from. So now all of a sudden, y'all have an issue. And like Confucius said, y'all talk about this is destroying the black community, and now these young sisters are growing up and don't have any strong role models to look after, and it's going to increase the incarceration rate. Because I have seen that.
I saw that too.
I have seen that. And I'm just like, this is what's going to do it. This rap song is what's going to increase the incarceration rate for not women, but for men. It's going to be this song. I'm just like, come on, man. Y'all got to stop the foolishness.
I saw somebody say, like, you know, like I said, what it would do to the kids. I'm like, are they playing a song on Disney Channel? Did I miss something here?
I'm saying. Like,
where are the kids hearing the song at? Like, I mean, you know, I once again, I don't try to understand stupid. So, because that's just not how my mind works. So when I hear these stupid takes from men, just first, you know, let me be more fair. I've seen some women say stupid stuff too about it.
I have.
It's 90% men, but there's still 10% of women that say stupid stuff. If you have an issue with the song, don't listen to it. And once again, this David said, they're not saying anything in that song that hadn't been said before by female rappers.
Yeah, they didn't reinvent the wheel.
They really didn't. I'm sorry that social media makes it hard to avoid that song for people who don't like it. But once again, you know, hip hop is very misogynistic, and I have to hear at my job, I have to hear a lot of music from men that talk about misogynistic stuff, and I just don't, you know, I just want to hear something different from time to time. It's interesting too, at my job, we've had this conversation. Most men don't want to hear female rappers. They don't want to hear women say, like, yeah, I'm, you know, yeah, you're tricking here. I'm just here to get your money. They don't want to hear that. They're like, wait a minute, wait. It's supposed to be the other way around. You're supposed to want me. It's supposed to be my plaything and all that. No.
Not if they're sitting there waiting to give up their money at your job.
Exactly.
You're not like, I'd be missing the point about that too. Like, but man, I just didn't get it. Like, I was told that I had fallen into programming. I guess I'm a sheep and I'm just following the herd because I didn't see an issue with the song. And I said, the goalposts move when it comes to women rapping. Like, I won't say the line that Pimp C used, but Pimp C had some very vulgar lines, and I named one, and the guy was just like, I'm just going to end it all with programming is real. And I was like, I'm programmed because, like, you grew up in a generation where Pimp C said some wild stuff on a record, and when you hear a woman say it, like, you feel away. Like, no, dude, that's being misogynistic and sexist.
I just see a bunch of men clutching their pearls, like, oh my God, this is just so... How could they say these things? Oh, shut up. Like,
and
dude, would you, because I mean to cut you off, considering what the song means, what WAP means, would you not want a woman to tell you that? That's my thing. Would you?
I don't understand, bro.
Would you want her to say the opposite of WAP? Like, isn't that the point of this? Like, this, come on now. Like,
I'm just not understanding. And if we want to talk about, this song isn't just good. Just these Meg and Cardi, they just not good role models. I'm just, like, let's look at Cardi
Boy.
B. Let's look at Cardi B. She comes from poverty, impoverished background.
She's my role model. She's my role model before she started rapping. So
impoverished background from the Bronx, New York. I think she said herself she's not well educated. Yet she has pulled her. She to quote. Clarence Thomas, she has pulled herself up by her bootstrap, and she made her way out of the strip club onto television, getting paid that way, and then into music, and then won a Grammy, and had a number one album and a number one single. Like, is that not empowering? Now let's look at Meg, a woman from Houston, Texas, I believe, third ward. She's gone to college, currently still in college, still getting her degree, because she said that, I'm not the type to start something and then don't finish it. I'm already here. Why not finish it? So she's still in college getting her degree. all the while touring across the country, holding, getting a number one album, going platinum, dealing with stardom, dealing with being coming into a newfound wealth. Like, is that not a role model? Look at what these women have endured and have overcome. Like, Meg was just shot in both her feet and then popped up with a Revlon endorsement. Like, come on, man. What are we talking about here? Like, I'm not getting it. Like, if you don't like the song, cool. That's cool. I've heard people say the song just isn't good. It's boring. Like, that's cool. But my whole thing is, why do y'all consistently talk about things that you don't like? Like, you don't like it. It costs you nothing to be quiet or not pay attention. You don't have to speak on it if you don't like it. There's a lot of things that I don't like, and you will never know because I don't say anything about it because I don't care to speak on things that I don't like.
I just don't. It's to be fair, it's disheartening that these conversations have to pop up when something like this happens. Because this, like I said, this song is not new. Like, we've heard this before. Like, where were y'all at when in the 90s or the 2000s? And when female rappers aren't, the only thing different now from then is that there's so many of them. There's so many female rappers out now. And we've talked about before how the music is consumed so differently. So you hear a song like WAP. And then, you know, a week before that, Mulatto put out her song, Moo Wop. So I'm all for it. You know, I'll rap City Girl songs front to back. Like, I don't care. That song P Talk is my joint. I just don't like the fact Doja Cat is on it because her verse sucks. But
I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. I'm hearing the whole female rapper argument too. Like, when you think about it, you just think back then, it was just a better balance. And I was like, was there a better balance? Because I remember the Moni Loves, the Queen Latifahs, the Salt and Peppers. And Salt and Pepper was rather raunchy. Like, have y'all not heard Push It?
Yeah,
like, thanks. Like, y'all do know what that song is about, right? Like, they were raunchy in their own way. But, like, yeah, they probably were the most raunchy out of MC Light, Moni Love, Queen Latifah. But was there so much balance? Because the three I just named was kind of like in the native tongues camp. So, like, they weren't that raunchy. So, like, was there a whole lot of balance? And I need y'all to quit bringing up Ladies Night. I really do need y'all to quit bringing up that song because all those women were on it. And it was just and all of that because outside of that song, the brat got raunchy. Let's not act like the brat didn't get raunchy. Left Eye got a little raunchy. Let's not act like she didn't get raunchy. Kim was really raunchy. She was the queen of it. So let's quit acting like that song is the bastion of female rap. That's just my opinion. We're taking a quick break. Be right back.
Yes. So one segment we haven't done in a while, and we're not going to do it every time, so don't get happy. Is This Week in Hip Hop History. But the reason why we're bringing it back now is because hip hop was born 47 years ago. I want to say 3 days ago. 3 days ago. Yeah. DJ Kool Herc had a back to school jam in his apartment unit in the Bronx, and that is designated as the first time hip-hop was, well, the invention of hip-hop that night.
I believe the address is 1523 Sedgwick Avenue.
1520 Sedgwick Avenue. Rec room.
There you go, 1520.
Rec room, yeah.
I was close.
The time was from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. 25 cents for the ladies, 50 cents for the fellas.
Ah, look at that. Ladies got half off.
It was the back.
I'm surprised they wasn't free.
It was back to school jam. So, from that party, once again, that designated the invention of hip hop, which is why me and Fresh are here, which is why, you know, it's the most dominant culture. So it's always interesting to see, like, that being the starting point for, you know, where everything came from. I can't tell you the starting point for rock or blues or R&B, but I can, it's dope to say, like, oh, you know, this is this day at this time from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. was the invention of an entire genre of music. Kool Herc, too, you know, he's, you know, I know recently he had some health issues, but I think he's doing fine now. It was good to see the hip hop community come together to make sure he was okay and to, you know, help pay his medical bills. That's sometimes the downside of the pioneers of a genre of music or just any type of industry. sometimes they're the ones that have to, they'll create something but see everybody else, you know, reap the benefits of it. But, you know, for the most part, Cool Herc's taken care of. Famously, I think it was On the Run tour. One of those tours Jay-Z had, Cool Herc was trying to get in, and the security wouldn't let him in, and Jay-Z heard about it, like, nah, let him in, and put him in the front row, you know, shouted him out, put him on the screen and everything, like, so, you know, it's good to see the hip-hop community still embrace him for something that, you know, people are making billions of dollars off of to this day. But, yeah, August 11th, 1973 was the beginning of hip-hop.
There we go.
So,
thank God for Cool Herc.
Without him, I probably would have got murked.
So, for a couple days, I've been sitting and thinking about this particular topic. We've spoken about this several times on the show. Most recently, like with the Grammys, and how like the Grammys isn't as indicative or of the culture or representing or great representation of the culture, or how Billboard charts don't really matter. So I beg the question, what dictates a hit? If Grammys aren't really representing the culture right, and Billboard, nobody really caring about being on Billboard or the iTunes charts, which I don't really understand when people like brag about being number one on iTunes or Apple Music chart. I don't get that. But like, without those things, what dictates like a hit? Like, is it every DJ playing your song at every club in the city or across the country? Is it constant radio spins? Is it just people knowing the song off top? Like the video, everybody watching you racking up a quarter of a million or a quarter of a billion views on a video. Like, what makes your song, what makes an artist's song a hit? Because everybody feels like they have a hit until they don't.
It's strange because, like, you know, there's what is a hit, an opinion, or is it a fact, right? Jay-Z's first number one was Empire State of Mind, and that was like 2008.
By then,
Jay-Z was already, you know, considered one of the greatest rappers of all time, which he is to me. He
definitely is to me.
Outkast started winning Grammys and selling millions and millions of records when Aquemini popped up. And I remember, you know, when they started winning records, you know, all the Grammys for Stank On Ya, Andre had to get on stage and be like, you know, this is not our first album, so stop asking us. But, you know, for some people, Outkast's biggest song is, what, Hey Y'all, or The Way You Move. But for us, yeah, fans, so, you know, Elevators to me is they're my favorite song of them, but it's not their biggest song. Would you?
And I think that's a hit.
I consider that a hit. But just people who don't know Outkast would be like, nah, Hey Y'all is bigger. Like my wife, she loves Hey Y'all. I hate that song. So maybe because I heard it so many times.
I liked it when it first came out, but like as I got older, I was I don't need this from Andre.
But, you know, like, You have people. There's like a Tekashi. Tekashi loves to brag about, oh, you know, all these my songs have charted. Da, da, da. But Tekashi doesn't have a seminal song that I feel we'll be listening to in 5 or 6 years, even 10 years. On the other hand, you have like March Madness by Future, which is a huge song to me. It's not Future's biggest song by far, but culturally, it's way more relevant than anything else to me that he's ever put out in terms of just who Future is an artist. Like I said, you can correlate Future's career before March Madness to Future's career after March Madness. The same way you can correlate Bad and Bougie Migos before and Bad and Bougie Migos after. Bad and Bougie is not Migos' biggest song. It's one of their biggest. But it's a, you know, culturally, it's a very important song. To me, the most important Migos song culturally is Fight Night. That was when that song, or Versace. When those songs came out, it was over for them. But I guess it really just depends on the artist. As an artist, I would hope that you would want to just chase songs that have that are timeless, as opposed to songs that just, you know, that chart real high or sell a lot. So that's my opinion on it.
I like that, and I like, for me, I think it's impact. Like if you made if that song was impactful for you as an artist, like you said, Future's March Madness, not his biggest song by far, but it's a song that everybody knows instantly as soon as they hear it. It's a song that when it came out, it was infectious and it was everywhere. And even to this day, when you play it on, people still get hyped and people still want to recite every single word of the song. To me, I think that's what makes a hit. It's not necessarily it being played on the radio every hour of the played on the radio every hour of the day. That doesn't signify a hit. It just means your label paid the radio station to play the song every hour on the hour. But like, I think back in college and somebody like a DJ Chose, who wasn't charting, who wasn't going platinum, well, at least not by RIAA standards. But like, the songs he was putting out, like, they were everywhere and they were everywhere within the college scene, at least. And to me, those songs were hits because I came home from college and would hear his songs in bars. While I'm out, I would go out in Houston and we'll hear songs there. You would go to a club in Dallas and they would be playing a song there. To me, that's a hit. Like, it's spreading all over the state of Texas. And, like, everybody knows it and everybody's hype off of it. Like, that's a hit to me. It may not be charting on Billboard or in the top 20, but, like, that's a hit.
Yeah. I mean, one of the songs I've been playing a lot lately is Still Tippin'. And, you know, Still Tippin', it was a big
hit.
It was a big song. But, like, culturally, it was, yeah, that song still resonates, you know, at least people down here it still resonates well with. So, I mean, yeah, what do you want a Still Tippin', or do you want a, what was a corny song that came out? I don't know.
This Is Why.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and Still Tippin', I say it's a hit because anytime anybody that's on, either if it's Powwow or Mike Jones or Slim Thug in that interview, especially when they interview outside of Texas, they get asked about that song to this day. That song was almost 20 years ago. Like, people still act like that was their first song. Like, this wasn't anybody's first song that was on this song, but it was that impactful that today, like, it had this widespread reach outside of just Texas. People in New York finally heard it and finally heard that, yeah, we can rap down here too outside of Scarface. Yeah. So, like, to me, that's a hit. That's what you want, a song that is impactful to the culture and to an artist's career.
Yeah, I agree. Points were made. That should be the name my Confucius says. Points were made. But nah, that's not
happening. That could work, too.
I've been using Confucius.
I'm going to put that on there. I'm gonna put that hashtag on there when I do it on social media.
I've been using Confucius says for years. I can't go back now. We're not doing new cola. This is just the old classic Coke right here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All right. So this week, it's going to be short and simple. Let me get straight to it. The XXL freshman list for 2020 has been released. I didn't see as much, what's the word I'm looking for? Not animosity, but divisiveness between the list this year as I usually see. But it was some reaction to it, and most people agreed with the list, which is shocking because for the last 5 years, nobody's ever agreed with the list. But my unpopular opinion is the XXL freshman list still matters. And I say that why? Because of the same reason I always say it. It still gets people talking. And XXL knows that regardless of who's on the list, they could put Dylon on there 10 times. And people are still going to talk about this list, whether it matters or whether that it doesn't matter. And people can say it doesn't really do anything for the artists. Well, I don't think the artists look at it like that. A lot of these artists on here, yeah, I would say are freshmen, but I would have said they should have probably been on. Some of these I would have said they should have been on there last year. Like Rod Wave, I would have put on there last year. Polo G, I probably would have put on there last year. Lil Key, I definitely would have put on there last year. Baby Keem could have went on there last year. But I think all of them looked at the list like this is a good opportunity for those who don't know who I am, for them to learn and know who I am. And I think that's how the artists and the team looked at it. Of course, you have artists who turned it down because they don't see the point in being on it. They don't feel like it does anything for their career. But Mulatto felt like it did something. It would help with her career. Jack Harlow feels like it's a good way to put his face out there and be seen by more people who haven't seen him before. Because I'm telling you now, not everybody in the world or the country knows who Jack Harlow is. And so whoever is reading XXL, they now know who, they now at least have a face to the name Jack Harlow or Mulatto or Chica, which a lot of people, when the list dropped, didn't know who she was. And when I looked at the list, I was like, she probably was the voted in one that they always do. But then I realized, oh, this is the same chick that I've been seeing her tiny desk floating around the internet for the past year. And so, like, I liked her tiny desk. It was great music. So, I still think the XXL matters to some extent. Even if it's just to put your face out there and give people a face to the name that they've probably been seeing all over the internet. And that is the unpopular opinion for the night, the day, the show.
That's why I was waiting. I was like, are you done?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time. It's that time of the show where we gain a little bit more wisdom than we had, say, last week. Here we are with Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
Thanks for being so enthusiastic for my intro there, sir. Jeez. I'm expecting like a Stone Cold type intro. You coming here with the Undertaker.
I try to come with, like, you know, a Mr. Rogers vibe because you're giving out wisdom. You don't need to be all like on 100 giving out wisdom.
Sometimes you can. I mean, I try to like, you know, be enthused when I do unpopular opinion, but sometimes.
Next week I'm coming in hyped.
All right, cool. I better have a good one. They're watching me, sorry. But yeah, anyway, this is Confucius Says. I am, of course, Confucius Jones. A few days ago, I was having a conversation with somebody, and we were talking about closure, and he made the point that closure is not a real thing. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? He was just like, basically, you know, we never really let go of certain things. We just move on from them, or we let them shape us. And so I got thinking, I said, you know, that is kind of true. You know, like, for instance, all of us, at least adults, have been in relationships that didn't work out. We move on, we meet other people, you know, some of us get married, some of us, you know, like I said, just like fresh, just date around. And so we look at that ex relationship as closure, right? You don't talk to that person, you don't deal with them. But from that relationship, you sometimes learn more about yourself when you move on to the next one. Like, oh, I don't want to put up with this. If this next person doesn't, you know how to make my sandwiches this kind of way, the next person better be able to, whatever, whatever. And the question I have is that closure though? If those things, those bad or good things from that last relationship, what helped define your, you know, shape your next one or what you're looking for in a mate, is that closure. If I tell you fresh, okay, like we had, where did we go? We went somewhere and had a horrible experience. Stevensville. It wasn't a bad experience. But, you know, when we first got out there, we stayed at a hotel and it had.
It was a little frightful.
The hotel had Confederate flags all over the place. And we immediately got out of there. Granted, it's not something we think about all the time, but. But from that experience, we know to never stay at random hotels in Stevensville. Is that considered closure?
Facts.
Is that considered closure? So the question I have for myself, I've been thinking about for the last few days, is what is really closure? Like, if I really let go of everything, or do everything we go through shape us into the person we're going to be, or the person we are, which is what we hear all the time. Like, oh, you know, your experiences make you who you are. Yeah, you're right. But if closure is a real thing, then none of these things should mold us, because we shouldn't be worried about them at all. Sometimes people do let the illusion of closure shape them in the sense of like, oh, well, I'm over this situation. It doesn't affect me anymore. But then the situation comes up and they're immediately triggered. Like I said earlier in the show, if you start saying Fresh has done nothing for the city or the music scene here, that's going to trigger Fresh. He's going to go off. We joked about, you know, this incident that happened, not an incident, but something that happened a few days ago with somebody trying to get on the show. And next week we won't even be thinking about it, but somebody's going to do something else again soon. It's going to trigger Fresh. So is Fresh really have closure? So I guess my Confucius says is sometimes we maybe need to think, rearrange the meaning of the word. I know it's schematics, but whatever. But just think about what closure really means. And is closure something that we embrace, or is closure something that we run away from? And that's what my Confucius says.
Wow. I had never thought about that before. Either.
The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones. Fresh Knight and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks, KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.